Hey there, folks. This is Todd Van Allen, host of Comedy Above the Pub. This is Season 2, Episode 20. This is David Pride, funny man in from Montreal. He was up doing shows here at in Toronto, and we extended the invite to him. First time we ever met him, and he was fantastic. It was a great conversation with him, so we thank him so much. We also thank the good people at Audible.com for giving you the listener free listen book. All you gotta do is go to our website, comedyabovethepub.com, click on Get a Free Book, and you sign up for Audible's 14-day trial for their service. And you get a free listen book. That's how easy it is. Books jacked right into your ear. That's not their slogan. That's something we came up with here in the CATP Towers lab. I'm not saying it doesn't need work, but, you know, that's where we are. Speaking of where we are, where I'm going to be, June 21st, a Tuesday, I'll be in Evan Demarais' show. I guess you can call it. It's called the Evan Demarais Show. It's a talk show. It's at the Central. I have no idea what's going to be going on. I guess he's going to ask me questions. This could get awkward. I don't know. The rest of the week, Wednesday, June 22nd to Sunday, June 26th, I'll be hosting it. Absolute Comedy in Toronto, Yonge and Eglinton. Make sure you come on down and check that out. Should be absolutely fantastic. So anyway, here we are, Season 2, Episode 20. David Pride, he's got some great album stuff that we're going to be playing as well. So let's get to it. Here he is.
This is comedy.
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 Comedy. Comedy Above the Pub.
This is Joanna Denning.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Nasa Gay.
Kevin Brosh.
This is John Wing.
Tracy Hoyt.
Adam Groh.
This is Jason Patterson.
Peter Anthony. You're listening to Comedy Above the Pub.
I just blew your mind.
Hey there, folks, and welcome, back. If
this a double is a welcome,
a double welcome. Yes, you welcome in the new listeners who saw our guest on the website and went, "Bam! This is something I want to listen to." And also, welcome back for the people who just listened to Steve Hofstetter, who came in, and actually, no, Jason DeLine would be the last one. Quit shaking your head at me.
Oh man.
Okay. Anyways, that's Ian Atlas.
300 episodes, and you still haven't learned how to open this thing.
Never. That's part of the charm or curse.
Yeah,
that could be that. That's Ian Atlas. This is
apparently the rock of this podcast. When did that happen?
I would say you're the E-Rock of this, and that you should be bombing, and typically are. My name is Tavin. I don't know what that meant, to be quite honest. I think the Middle East has pretty much freed itself up right now.
Thank you again for proving my point. Let's get to the guest.
Okay, can we?
Yes, please.
Here we go. This is my favorite style of guest. That's coming in here, and I'll explain why in a second. This man is genuinely funny, we can say.
I'm still waiting for my cold open.
Yeah, well, I'm more frigid than this.
Okay.
If
you're looking for momentum, you came to the wrong podcast.
Yeah, no, I was just burst in here.
Yeah.
Like wildfire.
Do you want to burst in?
No, well, I just did.
For the listener who can't see him, David is actually holding sparklers.
It was a brush fire.
It was a brush fire.
I'm rubbing sticks together.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Pride is with us.
Hi, Cyberland.
And you are my favorite style of guest that comes to this podcast.
Very silent.
Because you and I have actually, outside of 20 minutes ago when I said, "Hi, come on in," this is the first time we've met.
Yeah. Well, pretty much.
Like this is fantastic, because this entire the way that things happen in this world is kind of weird right now. Have you noticed that? Like with GPSs and social networking and all that that happens. And I hate to say that because I do sound like an old man.
Thank you.
But I'm going to continue. The fact that there has been no FaceTime at all in this.
Oh, you're just talking about this appointment was lined up with great precision.
For sure.
Accuracy.
Absolutely.
And we never heard each other's voice or saw each other.
It all happened through Facebook.
It did.
We've seen yourself online go, "This guy would be fantastic to talk to. Let's do this." We've never met. And you just show up at this house.
You know.
And wondering, like, am I going to get abducted today?
Well, a lot of people said that this was a bad idea. For me to,
I want their name.
Just to
I believe you're top of that list.
Probably.
Ian.
Okay. No. Just yeah. No. Because yes, I am. I'm very much on faith that that this house would be located
where it was. There were no lies up to that point.
On this plane of existence.
Yes.
That there would not be a backwater Narnia closet.
Sure.
Everywhere or
I will ask you not to go into this closet.
No, I see that.
Yeah.
I see because it's
you're not going to find gnomes or anything. It's just awful. It's a lot of filing and things that should be put away.
Yes, which is another lost realm.
Because it happens to me as well, like, you know, like when you're in a city and stuff like that and people say, hey, why don't you come out and do this particular podcast? Like, it happens in Ottawa when I went to Shit Shooters for the first time. At least I knew the guys I was talking to, but still, it's kind of weird when it's just suddenly you show up at a place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess we're sort of used to that in the world.
Hence my showing up. Yeah.
I assessed that, you know, there are no red ball gags or like any assorted GIMP paraphernalia
right.
in evidence, and I just
by the way, this podcast will start once Zed gets here.
Zed's dead, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
This can't be the first time that this has happened to you in terms of like, hey, you want to come out and do that? Like, have there been like weird things like gigs or stuff like that where you've just gone, I don't know anything about it other than I'm supposed to show up at this address.
Well, most gigs are like that. Well, in terms of just the sort of when you get in the business a little more and that you start doing more shows solo, every solo show is like that of just walking into an office building or, well, mostly I guess they're hotels. It's sure. weird. When you show up in a hotel, like in a, like sort of a James Bond situation of not knowing who your contact is or just, you know, you have to have your lapel like backwards and so they know who you are and they can come up to you and tell you that the albatross, you know. Yeah.
Find the Baroness.
Why not? Cobra.
The Baroness?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cobra.
I don't watch a lot of James Bond.
You don't say.
No, that's G.I. Joe. It's the Baroness.
That's true.
Cobra were known for their subtle espionage.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. What with their
Destro. Him and his wacky antics.
You couldn't pick him out of a lineup, no, Destro with the chrome plate head.
I will say this though, he was no Ernst Dampfer Blofeld. Can I just say that?
Oh, Blofeld, yeah. Well, who was most people were Blofeld at some point.
Yes.
It's including Kojak.
That is true.
Which, actually, I've never even thought of that. He was a pretty good Blofeld.
Yeah.
I don't know a single other actor by name who played him except.
Are you a big Bond fan, by the way?
No. Okay. The first one I saw was Moonraker when I was a little kid.
Everyone loves that one.
Yeah. Well, I was just a little kid. I don't even know why they let anyone in the theaters back then because it was pretty. I don't think they would let like little 8-year-olds or whatever into a Bond film now without. A lot of scrutiny and
I saw that movie in my jammies, and this is the third. You were the third person that's brought up Moonraker today, which is a weird thing. I think I may have to Netflix it.
I just liked, I liked that there was laser battles in space, like gun battles. It was like Star Wars, but after the Death Star exploded,
Jaws makes a cameo and just ends up in Switzerland.
Jaws does with a very young girl. Which
yes,
is,
creepy.
Yeah. It was very creepy, although when you're an 8-year-old, you just assume that he's just the foster dad. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Which
he just walks along. He chews through cables on
gondola cables. T-Rons.
Yeah, that's it.
A gondola cable. He dresses in a Mardi Gras clown suit.
Yep. and no one notices him.
And no, well, no.
That's my favorite thing about that.
Because clown,
there's no noticing him.
Clown is you don't get much more incognito.
Yeah.
Then a clown.
Clown with a grill.
Right. I will say this. On days when I just feel like, you know what, I just want to blend in. I don't want anyone to come up to me and go, hey, Todd, how's your day? I will sit on the TTC, the Toronto Transit Commission, and I will dress up as a clown.
Just not.
Put on the fright wig.
Just gnaw on the cable. That's
I can do that
too. Do I have cable on the TTC? I guess the
streetcars for sure.
Yeah, so you just get on top of a streetcar. And you just chew away.
Have a good gnaw.
You have a good gnaw.
Uh-huh.
And
I can do it. I floss regularly.
And
I do.
Well done.
I do.
Well done.
And you were worried about this being silly.
Yes.
Yeah, I really was.
How's this for tangent?
this is an excellent tangent. So, and I also want to mention that Jaws gets hit in the testicles in Moonraker.
Spoiler alert.
Is that right?
And it makes a...
Did I forget this?
It makes like a gong sound. Like
bling.
Basically, he has metal testicles.
Of course
is the implication.
If you have metal teeth...
Yeah.
There's no way that you're not going to have metal balls.
Well, yeah, it's, you know,
Is it a enamel? It's a group purchase? I don't see how
it has to be. You don't go front up with metal teeth and not have something downstairs to back it up. Am I right here?
I mean, it's the inevitable, yeah, like the enamel semen connection. I mean, they're both in the same family, yes. Basically.
Yes.
And so why wouldn't they be carrying large quantities of ore?
Sure.
That's our audience is learning a lot today.
It is. Yeah. It is. And we apologize for every nugget of information that you're getting.
Nuggets. Literally nuggets.
Nuggets. That's right. So home for you, Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome to Toronto. You've been here a lot of times.
Yeah, but yeah. It's been a while. It's been like October.
Mm-hmm.
I played for some dentists.
Do you? Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. That was a
did case, they floss a lot and chew through cables? Point. Is that
they didn't chew through cables? I think they wanted me to chew through a cable. But, okay. No, that was.
Did that not go well?
Actually, no, it was great. I don't, okay. By chew through a cable, I don't know why that sounded negative.
But it really actually, did, actually.
It was actually wonderful.
Tell me if you saw like a comic, it's like, hey, how was your last night? Oh, I chewed through a cable last night. That is not going to sound good.
It does, yeah. Well, unless it's like I was chewing through cable. I was unstoppable.
How was it playing for the dentists?
It was like chewing through cable. It was awesome.
It's like chewing through cable.
It's delivery.
Or like chewing through brie.
That's a nice time.
Now that's easy.
That's easy. That makes it sound pleasant.
It was. You gotta love brie.
But again, I'm gonna go back to delivery. Like if you said like, oh, it's like chewing through brie. It's like, okay, that sounds awful.
That's
right?
Bad because I'm lactose intolerant but if you, and all the implications.
Exactly. But if you said, how was it? Chewing through brie.
Chewing through brie.
Boom. Done.
I'm lactose tolerant, and it's no problem.
How do you get a dentist gig, by the way? They just like called you up and said, like, I've seen the album tracks on your album. By the way, I'm currently holding, the listener can't see this, but holding up your album Googly,
mm-hmm.
which has possibly the most creepy album cover art I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is right up there with the first Eels album, I would say. And, but fantastic.
It's me. That's me as a baby.
Can I guess that the dentist on the back of your British kids bit, went, there's a man who understands teeth. Let's bring him in.
Well, that's actually,
is that close?
I don't, probably not, but, well, I mean, I don't know on the back of the British kids, but, it's a good assumption.
I was guessing. I was looking at this going, I'm sitting there going, okay, sometimes why? No, that's not going to do it. Puns? No. Mount Allison? Possibly. British. In, out? No.
So what brings you into Toronto this time? You're playing for dentists. Now you're here. Doing Absolute?
Yes, Absolute Comedy. And playing through, I don't know. I've yet to encounter dentists in the audiences.
Or they're not announcing themselves as such.
I know. That doesn't mean they're not there.
Yes.
It's not.
They're just not vocal about it.
They're not. Yeah, I guess. Because I guess there's some fear and apprehension that goes with their vocation.
How do you find the show difference in terms of like where you're able to perform? There's two clubs in Montreal, Comedy Nest and Comedy Works.
That's right.
And here I'm assuming because you're playing at Absolute, you're not a Yucks comic. Have you been able to play the Yucks?
I was a Yucks comic until recently, and I just switched over recently.
Atta boy.
And
there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it didn't feel wrong, so.
You're obviously hurting because you're working here. That's fine. That's perfect.
You mean in this room right
yes.
now?
Yes. No. I mean the fact that you're actually still able to, you know, come to Toronto, do shows. That's fine. A lot of people are doing the transition one way. A lot of people doing the other. Have you found? I guess my leading question is, and we should get to it soon. How do you find the difference between Montreal and Toronto? Do you find like any sort of difference in terms of the comedy communities or?
I mean, it's much smaller in Montreal, obviously, because only a few of us speak the language.
Right.
Being English. Actually, a lot of French comedians speak the other language, which is French. But just to make that all crystal clear. Mm-hmm. But it's a smaller group. A bit of a smaller audience that comes with that, which means sort of the like Toronto seems to be teeming wall to wall, sort of satellite rooms and open mics and pro-ams and stuff. Montreal kind of aspires to that, but every so often gets sort of pushed back by the reality of there not being that many, not that big a market.
But this is what I always find a bit a bit funny about Montreal. It's like, you know, whenever I'm performing there, whenever I get down to Comedy Works, let's say, it's always a good time. The room is always packed. But I find it funny when everyone says, oh, yeah, it's a very small community, yet they host one of the biggest festivals in terms of comedy out there.
Yeah.
Is that kind of weird?
Well, not when you've seen it in action a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Like, you see that effect of 2 weeks out of the year, you know, the funniest everyone city descends. On earth, right. You know. And then come August, it's back to sort of just ghost tumbleweed ghost town, which really is. It's quite dramatic and often depressing. It's often a big letdown after you've had all these people come through. But and I think the public perception too. I was like in a store listening, like they had a radio playing. This was like back in the fall when I think Billy Connolly was coming in town to do some theater shows, and this DJ was like playing up the Billy Connolly's coming to town and kind of saying, boy, it's great to have comedy around outside of Just for Laughs. It's great that we can still laugh outside of those 2 weeks out of July. And you know, when you're a comedian hearing that, you're like, well, there's other 50 right. weeks with yes. two clubs.
And you stormed the radio station and right. flogged him publicly.
I didn't know. I couldn't find the radio station.
Launched
so I just
the Bastille.
I just tipped the magazine rack over where I was and just and yes, I made a quick egress.
Is that a big problem in Montreal? Problem. I mean, like I can't imagine. Like, we've tried time and time again in Toronto to try and build up some sort of festival that mm-hmm. can actually be warranted and stuff. And there's, you know, been successes and failures along the way. And it appears to be the model that we're going with is like the touring company of Just for Laughs is going to come in and suddenly take over four or five venues,
mm-hmm.
put on some stuff, and then move on to the next city.
Yeah.
So it seems like that sort of franchising.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be the thing. I can't imagine from your standpoint as a comic that's you know working on his craft and that thing. It's just like to see this thing kind of roll over. Is it like do you find any solace in sort of like, you know, making yourself known in Montreal, or are you going further afield to get that out, or how are you doing?
You mean rolling over like the perception?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, yeah, it's a bit frustrating just from a general standpoint. I don't take too much umbrage with it personally. Mm-hmm. I quite like working in secret anyway.
Right.
just going, yeah, I kind of like just going on the stage, and I'm, you know, I'm a pretty bad sort of self promoter and stuff like that. And I just kind of want to show up and do the show and then kind of slink off into the night again.
Right.
And, you know, so from that, from a personal standpoint, I don't get too mad that, oh, they don't know we're here. It's because the shows seem to just happen anyway.
Right.
No matter what happens, it just seems that comedy just keeps rolling on anyway. Whether, you know, it's, I guess you'd always like the room a little fuller, or the gig's a little steadier. I guess there's always that, but
sure.
But there always seems to be something. And that's, you know, I'm happy with something. Mm-hmm.
Do you enjoy the road?
No.
That's the most quick and honest response yeah. we've ever gotten to that question.
Yeah. It's strange. I mean, it's been good here. Like, I've got, you know, Absolute's got the great accommodations here and in Ottawa and stuff, and that makes a huge difference. But honestly, I've been doing a lot less. I've got two kids now, and so I got a little family. I really love having a little family. I love hanging out with the family. So I don't, I don't want to leave for weeks at a time.
Right.
And it's, yeah, it gets kind of depressing when you're away or when you're on your own. I, you know, this week is, you know, it's been a fair chunk of time, but it's, you know, it's been all right. But just, yeah, going out to sort of strange motels in strange towns to perform at strange functions. It's not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's for me, I would really, I think like many comics, I would like to be, you know, rich enough that, you kind of don't have to rely on that stuff,
sure.
which I think, you know, a lot of people probably feel the same way,
uh-huh.
but, Cause, I just like doing it in a club on a stage where people go to see comedians, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to, you know, I'm not to knock the dentist audience.
No, but you can.
But, no, it's fine. But I'm talking about those sort of corporate functions or even, you know, community centers and stuff where it's often the shows are great. They work out great, but you still, there's that uncertainty of going in. Like, do they really know what they're going to see? Or
right.
Corporates, especially, like, do they want you're surrounded by your mm-hmm. workmates, and is this really right. Where you want to be?
When the comedy show on the wall as you're entering is second on the bill to Pancake Breakfast.
Exactly.
That is, you know, some hot comedy is going to be dished out that night.
There's going to be some funny flapjacking. But yeah, so I really just love, I mean, what I love most of all are open mics, to be honest.
Is that right?
I just love them.
Really?
That's,
Ian runs one.
I'll take you to a few. Right. I can burn that right out of you.
Yeah. I guess I'm talking about, I mean, the familiar, you mentioned Comedy Works.
Yeah.
Montreal, it's a Monday night. It's, you know, it's a pretty reliably steady gig.
What is it about open mics that you like? I know why I like them, but I would like to hear what your sense is.
It's chasing the dragon, doing it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You go out with new material and it's, you know, at this point there's enough sort of comfort with stage and presentation and stuff that it's not terrifying to do.
Sure.
But you're still like putting yourself out there and just throwing out jokes that you've mm-hmm. literally never gotten any feedback on before in your life of any shape or form.
Yeah.
And so when one of them hits, it's just like falling in love all over again.
Mm-hmm. It is fun, isn't it, though?
A new joke, a new joke working is... sorry, I'm just pouring myself a...
Go right ahead.
A liqueur. But I mean, it's one of my little... listen to that. Okay. Can you...
Anyone need to pee? Is that something?
One of the great joys of doing it is the new joke working well. The new bit. I've got a new bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. And
when it tanks, so what?
Well, when
that's the thing,
you let,
right?
Yeah, you let go two or three times. And then by then, if it tanks, you can kind of just shake it off and try again. If it tanks repeatedly after mm-hmm. a certain time, then
you give it three.
Yeah.
You give it three and then you go, you know what? Onto the ice flow you go.
The cryogenic storage, if there's potential there.
That is true.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe we'll find a cure for that disease eventually.
Yeah.
And then throw that in there.
I've revived stuff and then it came out okay.
On stage, typically, if I'm guessing, where you've gone, this is the exact situation where this joke is going to work. Maybe it is in front of a dentist. Like maybe it's just like, no, I have a root canal joke that is going to kill.
No, it's still not. Yeah, because you wouldn't. Yeah, no, because they're an unforgiving lot. The dentists.
I didn't mean them specifically.
But no,
but there was like one. It was on stage at Absolute, actually. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, there was this joke I just could not get to land.
Right.
Anyway, like no
just
matter
just the
how,
one.
Just there are a myriad, but this particular one, I was just like, okay, no matter how I approach the runway, I could not get it to go, and it was a joke about Newfoundland or something mm-hmm. like that. And suddenly I'm in, I'm at Absolute and is, you know, and from out of town or, you know, something like that. And then suddenly this table of six newfies going, I have a joke for you. And so I do this joke and it was like that thing where it's just like, I know it's going to work for them. And chances are by them liking it, it's going to get, and it did exactly that. They mm-hmm. became the epicenter of that blam. And suddenly this joke that I could not get to work ever. Got an applause break. I'm like, okay, your next act, ladies and gentlemen. I'm done.
So
I'm
now
done.
He brings six Newfoundlanders with him to every
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Of course I do. I put him in a van and Fort McMurray, that's a great place to work. They're there anyway.
You've got a couple dozen to work with.
With respect to open mics, I love when you go to a city and you find that one open mic that is just absolutely well established. Were you able to take part of any in your time here in Toronto?
No, I didn't have time here in Toronto. The last time I did something like that, was in Australia, which was just kick ass, because how much better is it? But it's there's nothing like walking onto a stage when no one knows who you are,
yeah,
where you're from,
uh-huh,
or what language you're speaking when you start talking, or at least the accent or whatever.
Like, what they just, city, what room? I want to get this because I have my own in Australia.
Well, this particular, the one I'm thinking of, I did four shows while I was there, all just sort of walk-on situations. Mm-hmm. But this one I'm thinking of is Sydney. Sydney was where there was like the guy who booked me wasn't there. So literally nobody knew.
No one knew.
Yeah. And it was just such a mm-hmm. thrill just to go, you know. And there'd been, I was on like third or fourth. So sure. The show was underway and it was a good show. And, you know, but then, you know, I went on and just, you know, the words started coming. They got my name wrong and all that. Mm-hmm. And that was all fine and dandy.
What'd they call you?
I think Pratt.
Yeah, I can see that. But, that's okay.
Which sounds a bit mean.
It does, actually.
I don't know how much of it was deliberate. A bit of Aussie hazing.
Right, David Pratt.
Yeah, exactly. But
please look at me next time, like, fuck this guy.
Exactly. But yeah, no, and then the words come out of your mouth and everyone's sort of ears perk up because mm-hmm. you're not from around there.
Right.
And then when the first joke is actually funny, then
suddenly you're Jesus.
There's a great interest. There, the other places I did was, well, the first show I did was Melbourne, and that was all through, again, Facebook.
Right.
Getting contacts in place, and they actually got me to MC. So my first show in Australia was uh-huh. as an MC, which was a bit weird.
Do you remember the venue in Melbourne?
Oh,
Was it the hotel?
No.
Okay.
No. Oh my God, I can't believe I forget.
There was a venue that they had as part of the Melbourne Comedy Festival, which was just an open mic. And the most antagonistic room you're ever going to be in.
Okay.
It was just absolutely, like, people just yell at people and stuff like that. And I found that, you know, there was me and like three or four other Canadians that would, you know, come here and try out stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Australians couldn't handle heckling, and they were the ones inventing it. At that point, like, mm-hmm. like they were the ones who were like, you know, you fucking suck, mate. You know, like,
and
they couldn't deal with it. And so all you need to do is, two or three Toronto open mics and suddenly you know how to deal with hecklers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were gods among men. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, the one eyed kings in the land of the blind. It was crazy.
That's fantastic.
And people come out afterwards going, you didn't lay into me nearly enough, and going, what do you mean?
I threw like, a rock at you.
Yeah,
what did you want?
It's like, you know, you didn't go on to me. It's like, oh, so I should have called you a shithead? Go, yeah, I should have. I'm doing that now. Like, do you not get this? Okay. All right.
All right. So I think it's time to take a break.
I think so.
When we come back, we'll talk about David's adventures in nerditry.
Can we?
I think so.
Let's do it.
All right.
To nerditry we go.
Hi, this is Jason DeLion, and you're listening to a Prairie Home Companion. We've drastically reduced the budget, so don't expect anything good. I mean, Comedy Above the Pub is what it's called now. Enjoy.
No, it's been cool.
It is good.
Yeah. Like I said, anytime you're in town on a Monday, even if you're just driving through on the way to something else, and you're in town 9-ish and you want to go,
yeah.
Just call.
Have you done the open mic Monday comedy show in Calgary?
No. Hang on. Is
Monday...
that...
Monday...
Who runs that again? Is that James?
James. That's exactly
I did do that once. Yeah, it was really, really empty.
Monday
was...
comedy night.
Well, that's the one.
Fucking fantastic room.
Oh, it was empty when I did it, so it was a bit of a...
It's like spirits. Like,
is
it's
it?
It's just so fun. Like, you don't know who's going to show up.
And it is... I think it's like you say when you're talking about, like, kind of the joy of the open mic. Like,
oh, great.
Like, yeah. You've got... No one knows who you are, and certainly no one knew who I was. So I just went up and said, okay, so let's see where... I can get some joy out of these jokes I know are going to tank in Medicine Hat.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I can at least have some fun with them.
Yeah.
And just when a room ignites, it's like, okay, good. And they're like, who the fuck are you? And just, I love the earnestness of some of the acts where they're just like, they're so nervous and just, you know, kind of like you see it at your room, Ian. For sure. Like,
yeah.
For the brawl. We're like, oh yeah, I'm going to try this. I'm going to give it my best. And they come in kind of like, you know, new enlistees.
Gee willikers.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, I'm signing up for the cause and I'm going to war, you know, because I don't like the Kaiser. And then they come back swearing.
And their drinking. Leg has been blown off.
Yes, exactly. It's the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. And yeah, fantastic. Is that a cold open? That's cold open. So. Hello, welcome back.
We like to open on the brutality of war.
Of course we do.
All right.
People know this. David Pride is here with us. It's good to have you here, sir. With that moose shirt, which will show up in the show notes.
Yeah. It's, what does it say?
I love that you got this in England, you were saying?
Yeah, it's a green t-shirt that says, Visit Ontario, it's full of mooses.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I love it specifically because it came from England. It's a pro-Ontario shirt.
Sure.
From England that doesn't make a lot of sense grammatically or otherwise.
And living in Quebec as you do, that must get right up a lot of people's noses, which is fine.
They're just mad it's not in both languages.
Yes.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
L'Ontario, c'est
visitez Ontario, c'est rempli
des original. It's they're called originals for some reason.
Oh yeah.
Original?
L'Original.
Yeah. It reads like original.
Okay, great. I understand why
flashback.
Why do you know this?
Because I was fluent in French, man.
Is that right?
I was French immersion from like kindergarten all the way through high school. And then once high school was over, I stopped using it. So it's in there. It's just dusty and rusty and covered.
Really?
Just crap. But yeah, I can pull it out.
I hope you mean your French. Okay, so.
That's what I like to call it, yeah.
I love picturing you calling your Willy your French.
Your French.
Yeah. Allow me to pull out my French.
Yes.
It's got a little beret. No comment. No comment.
A little mustache. Zut alors.
The French is mustard. You want to keep that inside there.
Oh. Into the cave again.
Yes. That was okay.
Left hand, I hated that guy. La main gauche.
That's a diabolical minute right there.
That really it was.
See, this is what that's happens our on cold. Comedy Above
See?
The Pub.
That's our cold open right there. So we've kind of tiptoed around this. So let's just get into the meat of it. Nerdetry.
Mm-hmm.
You fancy yourself a bit of a nerd.
I guess so. I guess so. I don't like to brag about these
Ian
things.
Does. So just let's...
Not
let's
bragging get... about nerdery.
What?
No. When have I ever said that I was a big nerd?
The fact that you host a program of shows under the auspice of Nerdgasm tells me...
I also have a show on sex and relationships. It doesn't make me a porn star. Like,
there's no, it makes you a liar, is what that does.
Many shows for many tastes. It's called marketing, Todd. Look into it.
Oh, boy. Okay. What? I thought my Twitter feed would be all I would need. And I am wrong.
That's right.
What do you make of first of all, what sort of style of nerd would you say? Because there's definitely
comic book. I love comic books. If you go on YouTube and search for the ultimate, I don't remember
ultimate
what it's
comic
called.
Book set. I think.
Ultimate comic book stand up set. Yeah. Anyway, those words. Are
I
in
will
there.
Put it in the show notes so people can just go
we'll find
to.
It and we'll post it online. They just click and go.
Yep, yeah, there you go. Go to comedyabovethepub.com. It'll be right there.
Yeah, it's a stand up routine that's just wall to wall inside comic book references. But it's that's the stuff I love.
But what's your favorite? And who else was on that with you? That was Scott Falconbridge.
Well, I got some assistance from Scott Falconbridge, who kind of provides the kind of rim shots for the jokes.
Yeah.
And then Tim Rabnett, who provides the detailed explanations of the jokes.
the director's commentary.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. While it's running.
Silver Surfer first premiered in Fantastic Four, issue number 15.
Yeah, yeah. 48.
But when you're not a nerd.
I'm making it up. He actually knew.
48. Bullshit! I'm calling bullshit.
No, he's right.
Thank you.
He got it wrong.
Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on the fact that you know shit.
No, okay, that's why. But you said 15, and it was 48.
Is that the true thing?
Yeah, see, Todd, when people speak, try listening.
Okay. I'll take it back then.
Part of the much esteemed Galactus trilogy that ran from Fantastic Four 48 to 50. And then
now Galactus is one of the celestial beings of the Marvel Universe.
It's at this point that I see Ian grinning so much, you just being point of fact, and I look at between you two and go, I am well over my head here.
Know snippets of facts. I'm the Daywalker nerd. I'm the nerd that sees sunlight but doesn't really know a whole lot of anything. I've never seen Doctor Who, for example.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, now I can call you a dirtbag. That's, you've seen Doctor Who, yes?
Yeah, modern one. I remember like the Tom Baker episodes.
Yes,
yeah, yeah,
yes, absolutely. And who was the guy before that? The white haired fella.
Well, I wouldn't know. I don't. Tom Baker's the
but
only
Tom
one I know.
Baker was absolutely fantastic. He had that voice before Picard,
which they use on Little Britain now.
Yes.
Kind of nice. He's the narrator of all the Little Britain sketches.
Mm-hmm.
which is, yeah, it took me a long time to realize that.
He's fantastic.
But as a big comic book guy, are you Marvel? Are you DC? Are you no affiliation? Just you like what you like? Or
Marvel, my heart belongs to Marvel. Okay. Just that was the
but
child.
But your head belongs to DC, am I right? Yeah?
Head belongs to Vertigo.
Nice.
Oh!
Transmetropolitan? Nice.
Yes.
Yes. Spider yeah. Jerusalem. Gotta love it.
All the Transmetropolitan, all the Lucifer.
Preacher.
Preacher, yeah, although I don't love Preacher as much as everyone else loves Preacher, okay. But it's...
It brought me to the dance, so it's...
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the rest of this podcast to Ian. I'm going to go upstairs and masturbate. I have no idea what to... Okay. Vertigo, I knew some things.
The Invisibles?
It's an imprint of DC.
Yeah. That's, yes, that's right.
It was basically started, the idea from Swamp Thing, when Swamp Thing took off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Became the most... like acclaimed freaky because of Alan Moore. Alan Moore,
but it was right. More an adult oriented series, not with, you know, without being vulgar, but just more grown up than
Well, Alan Moore came out with, like, you know, and certainly I have a lot of homage to him for The Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
With my Rorschachy business that
he does
I do.
Stand up as Rorschach.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm that guy.
Yes, I have heard about okay. that. Fantastic.
And for the listener who doesn't know, I will throw that on. In fact, I finally found that clip of what the Zesties, what was the awards? Questies.
Questies.
The Questies.
Yeah.
That stage where the guy heckled right into my next joke.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Okay. So I will publish that, put that out there, and let people, it'll be right side by side with your ultimate comic book set, thing. So I find with Alan Moore, like, his goes beyond, like, regular sort of comic book, you know, heroism type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was really more saturated in sort of like political drama almost.
Yeah.
And more being very zeitgeistian, even though it was a different parallel, which I found awesome. I mean, like, you know, Nixon being president. Let's figure that out. How's that going to go?
Yeah, sure. Winning Vietnam.
What's it? What, the whole thing. Do you prefer that style? Or do you prefer, like, sort of like a, hey, here comes, you know, Johnny Buckshot. See, he's going to be absolutely fun, and
I
he's got these superpowers.
I love both of them, depending on where my brain's at. But mm-hmm. it's I still love getting back issues from, like, the 80s and stuff.
Right on.
I'm filling in gaps when you have childhood comics that you have, and now...
You're a completionist.
Now you have the luxury of time and maybe some spending money to go out and start filling in all these sort of, like, old Mike Zeck jammed Matty's Captain Americas and stuff like that.
Are you reading the current edition of Captain America?
I was, and then I stopped.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean, Ed Brubaker? And that stuff? Yeah, I kind of. So I actually have a hard time sticking with modern comics, like buying them on a monthly basis.
Yeah, right? I'm a trade paperback guy. I just get the whole series, read it, done.
Yeah. It's a bit easier. And Vertigo and stuff like that, a lot of the adult comics sort of lend themselves to that. Just pick up a trade paperback.
What do you make of movies? Based on them.
I never see them anymore. We just never have time to go out to movies because we don't have many babysitters.
Available. True. Hey, you got two kids. That's right.
Yeah, but
Netflix, Into the House, done.
I guess so. We're just not up on these things. But the last comic book movie I saw was Watchmen.
Right. Opinion.
Didn't really like it.
Okay. Why?
Didn't
and I'm going to grill you on
settle
this.
Settle down, Todd.
No, this is happening.
Unclench.
They didn't really get the whole concept of adaptation very well. The best part of that movie was the opening credits. I love the opening credits where they kind of just montage all the major incidents of this Watchmen universe
to create that. Yes.
And exactly. I watched that and I thought, this is going to be the best movie ever, cuz they brought me in and I was already like, they get this and this is cinematic and beautiful and cool. And then they just started going, okay, issue 1, page 1.
Right.
Rorschach's first line, Rorschach's second line, and they just kept going page by page. Through, I think it took about 8 issues till they kind of branched off and started doing, oh, this isn't exactly like the comic. And it bothered me because I knew everything that was coming. I started checking my watch and
going, okay, so this is when the Crystal Castle on the moon and on Mars is going to, you know, collapse.
And they'd include little details that I thought, well, you know, like, you know, Rorschach did his little Pagliacci monologue. Mm-hmm. And I was already checking my watch at that point. So I'm like, no, come on, you got to ram ahead some of this stuff. You gotta,
and that was interesting because you're the first person I've heard that say was upset that they followed it so closely.
Yeah,
but that's interesting
because I was about to call bullshit on that. I was like, because there's really no way. But by that argument, if they had departed from the text, then suddenly, you know, 9/10 of, you know, the Watchmen reading nerd out there is going, how dare they do that?
Yeah.
Don't they realize that in the prison, Rorschach does this and blah, blah, blah. Like,
so there's no way Rorschach would have a sassy teen sidekick.
What would his name be?
Rorschach boy.
I guess, yeah.
Rorschach. Ink Rorschach-y. Boy. Shecky.
Rorschach and Inkblot boy. There it is.
Inky, yeah, there you
Inky.
Go. Rorschach and Inky.
Yes. You can actually, I think they were touring vaudeville in the mid-80s.
They were.
It was a ventriloquism act of some sort.
Ventriloquism act.
Ooh, that's how I spiced up the act next.
Oh, dear God.
Inky. Inky the dummy. Have there been any, I throw this out to any sort of, like-minded person out there as who do we have to, kill, screw, or throw a big bucket of money at?
To make a decent Punisher movie.
Thank you!
Someone,
who do you do?
I read a lot of comic book blogs and stuff, and so there's one essay on there that kind of went to that issue and kind of said it's kind of hopeless because Punisher's a gun-toting vigilante, which cinema has already done. They can't really, like, with the Death Wish movie, because it's kind of it's this weird sort of cycle of Punisher was kind of born from the Death Wish genre. Like, it became a genre out of the Death Wish movies and stuff. It became a comic booky version of Death Wish, and it's kind of hard now, and there have been many variations on Death Wish. It was also a variation on the novels, the Executioner novels, Mac Bolan Executioner. And anyway, the little thesis of this essay was that you can't really go back because any Punisher movie at this point is just to the large non comic book audience is just a ripoff of Death Wish, and you know it's so it can't really stand out that way.
But I give you that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is it's still a story. That's like saying that you can't do any sort of romantic comedy ever again, because Romeo and Juliet, not that it was a comedy, but like, you know, that's out there. Mm-hmm. Well, we've already had relationships, but not this particular relationship. Dr. Strangelove. Oh, there's no point of doing a comedy movie because we've already had Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
But you still do them.
Yeah.
And it's a different flavor. I agree with the point that yes, there's a lot of vigilante movies out there.
Yeah.
But why can't we just have that one story?
I guess,
of that guy.
I guess you could. Maybe it's just never going to really stand out or never really going
to
make...
They may have to make it profitable. That might be the problem. Where it's just that it's not going to warrant the cost and...
We just had Thor!
Yeah, but Thor...
Of all the things!
Yeah, but Thor was part of a larger group. Thor is part of like a series of movies tying into the Avengers. It's all part of a big marketing campaign. You can't put the Punisher on a can of Dr. Pepper. You may be on a can of Monster Energy drink, but that's a whole different kind of punishment. What I'd love to see is a decent Daredevil movie. Yes, Daredevil's a Batman knockoff, but still, like, let's go back to that. Fix that one.
Yeah, if they can.
And then you can get the Punisher back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punisher loop that in. As a Daredevil character.
They could be a super cop team up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bring back Inky. that's awful.
Something about Punisher, because they shot Punisher War Journal in Montreal.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
And the lead actor was the guy from Rome, right?
Yeah, Dominic. Yeah.
Because the little rumor I heard, and so this might speak to why Punisher movies aren't that good, but the rumor I heard was like on one of the days of shooting, Dominic ran into 1 million comics. Maybe not the day of shooting, but anyway, he was arrived in town, ran in, and just asked, "Do you have any Punisher comics?"
Yeah.
He basically had to cram. For his movie,
really
movie shoot. So maybe that speaks a bit to.
Well, because originally it was supposed to be a sequel to the one they did with Tom Jane, which had potential, but they didn't quite deliver.
I didn't mind Tom Jane as the Punisher,
but
the
I guess what happened was the story kind of fell apart for the second one.
Right.
He pulled out, and I think the director pulled out, and it's like, oh, okay, we're just gonna start from scratch.
On paper, to me, like the Punisher stands out as like what I would like to think. Is a lot of people would hang on to in that it's a superhero without superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Like really and truly any one of us You know, if we took a little bit of time and money, we could have gotten to that point. We could have gone as like, hey, you know what? If I do a couple of crunches and then I go join Special Forces, then I can get in on this, you know? And I found him in that regard. And this is why I like him and I champion him as a superhero, but he's not a superhero. It's because he's kind of just us, you know? Yeah. He's got some special training stuff like that, but any guy could have done this.
Yeah. And
that's what I like about it.
And it's like the Charlotte Death Wish thing. It all ties back to like, you know, power fantasy the whole superhero as adolescent fantasy, and Punisher is like a superhero as kind of a victim fantasy, or just in this scary world. It's nice to think that you can, your solution can be to go out and kill people.
Right.
The bad guys, I guess.
The bad people. But also as well, like that mantra that he has of like, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, you know, and that's what I'm going to do.
I was going
to
say, I don't think I've ever heard him say that.
I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
I think it's like, I'm going to shoot this motherfucker in the face.
Right. Because he's a bad person.
Yeah.
That's why. I can't remember which series of the novels or the comics it was, but when it spawned other vigilantes. And he went and killed them all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like, you don't get it.
Yeah.
You don't get it. That's what I like. Yeah. And, you know, there was no radioactive spider. I'm not taking anything away from Spider-Man. There's none of this kind of demigoddery that's going on. He's just a regular guy whose family was slaughtered in front of him. And then he went on.
Yeah. You know? That's what the Max, if you read the Max.
Yeah.
Editions.
Marvel has their own line of adult imprints called Max.
Yeah.
You just had that look on your face like, huh?
Huh?
Anyway, those are the Punisher ones, like, as far as the graphic novels go, those are like that's what the movie should be.
Right.
It would be very R-rated and bloody and horribly violent.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Can we just agree?
Presented in Splattervision. Pretty much.
Is there a comic out there that you would love to see that has not been made yet?
As a movie?
As a movie. No, as a one-act play. Yes, a movie. Yes.
A one-act play.
I'm sorry. I didn't see you standing there.
Secret Wars.
Oh, hi!
I'd like Secret Wars, the one-act play, but that's... what would I like to see? I've thought of this, of course, but it'd be one of the Vertigo things. I think Sandman as an animated
jobby. Oh, boy. Yeah.
As an HBO series or something like that would be
cool. It would be awesome, actually.
Yeah.
I would love to see Transmetropolitan as a live action, sort of like a Blade Runner tied in with something else that's cool.
Blade Runner meets something else. That's
what?
The pitch.
Driving Miss Daisy?
Yes, exactly.
That's right. I gotta go kill myself some androids. You just sit here tight, Missy. Man, I don't care for this at all, you black
I'm not
bird.
Saying I thought it through all the way, but...
Right,
yeah,
that's
there
true.
Was, there was the rumor of Patrick Stewart playing Spider Jerusalem, which would have been
awesome. That'd be weird, though. He'd be a bit weird.
Yeah, but he loves the series, and...
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, good for Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm.
Yes. A lot of things are good for Patrick Stewart.
Quick throwaway question. X-Men First Class? Apparently it's been deemed okay.
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that something?
I don't know. I probably won't. I'm just so slow to see all these things now that I never saw the Wolverine one.
But that I've heard that's awful.
Is it?
I've heard, like, you know, from the most renowned of all the characters, it's the worst one. And I really enjoyed that franchise, to be quite honest.
Yeah, me too. I like the first two. Three kind of fell apart for me. The X-Men movies.
I just like Frasier playing Beast.
He was great. Yep.
It was like Frasier met Grover.
Niles, how could you? Blah! Yeah. I'd forgotten about that, to be quite honest.
Oh, no, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
Is there anything he can't do other than Macbeth on Broadway?
Frasier, yeah.
Yeah.
What can't he do?
A successful sitcom after Frasier.
Well, has he tried?
He's done a couple.
Yeah, he did. He did that.
Did that one with the lady from Raymond, and there was another one.
Hmm.
The fact that we don't even know them by name.
Yeah, awesome cameo in 30 Rock. Not a cameo, like a little bit part. It was a great. He and Kenneth and Jenna were pulled the caper together.
That's right. I forgot
Remember
about that.
And he gives a little speech before the caper, like, "Look, we're all in this together. We can't leave a man behind." And now, two questions: Who are you, and what are we doing?
Right.
And it was wonderful.
Anytime.
And they've had so many of those lately. Like Aaron Sorkin came by.
Oh,
and
Michael Keaton. One too.
And
yeah.
Anytime he shows up as Sideshow Bob, I'm engaged.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's no not looking at that TV screen for
sure,
me.
Sure.
I absolutely don't.
I asked him about his Simpsons nerdery and the secondary character and all that rest of that stuff.
Oh, did that happen?
Get into it. We just said, like, yeah, we talk about this sometimes.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember Kelsey Grammer showing up in Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes.
That was a great episode.
Yeah.
The one where they kept blowing up.
Yes! Ship blows up real good.
Shortest teaser in the show history.
Yes.
Yeah.
15 seconds or 14
Blam.
Seconds.
Blam. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell like me that Kelsey Grammer's character in that whole thing, you know, after it's replayed, is like, I am such an asshole. I apologize. I could have just veered left.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. What do you mean? That's what he's just
repeatedly over and over again just keeps slamming into the same ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But their power was out. That's why they couldn't turn. He had to fucking, you know, tractor beam.
What, they don't all have a Scotty that can divert powers from dilithium crystals? And
did
I don't
you even
know
see the
about.
Episode?
85 times.
He looked remorseful. Yeah, I give him that.
They had to decompress the shuttle bay.
Yes.
He was only... That's true.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Many things, but it's...
That was option... was that option
That was
three?
Riker's choice, and yes. That's why Data Kent sent the three back
he,
in
he sent the three bags as like, you know, you have to do the third choice.
Yeah.
It's like...
Or no, the three bars on
three
yes. Riker's...
That's right.
On his lapel.
That's right. Listen to him.
But was he...
Well, hi.
He was... this was... And that predated Frasier, right? He was still a Cheers guy when he was on there.
He was at that point, yes.
Okay. It was... That'd be
there was no Frasier at that point.
Late 80s, early 90s?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Which is fun.
You know what? He may have wanted to plow into the Enterprise at that point if he's only got Lilith to
but
go
But tying
home
into
to.
That, Lilith's guest appearance on Star Trek was also delightful.
Boing.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
That was one where...
Big nerd boner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one where Riker got caught on the planet dressed up as one of the aliens. And they're like, well, you're clearly not an alien. But I look like you. It's like, well, yeah, but you have fingers. And you're not one of us.
Right.
Nice.
And then Lilith is like the alien groupie who just wants to bang him because she wants to sleep with an alien. And then she helps him escape.
There's actually two reasons we can tell you're not an alien. One, you have fingers. And second, I can see your boner. That's the way that goes.
Dear God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awful.
That's my level of nerdery where I can.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that yours?
Just Next Generation.
Star Trekery?
Just the Next Generation, a little bit of the rest, but not much.
The I love the fact that was a show and it used to close down. It used to open up the internet actually. There was an old adage, and it was true at that time. If you ever found internet access slow, because there were only so many servers at that point when the internet kind of came on.
Yeah.
The biggest available bandwidth was when Star Trek Next Generation was on. And it was completely stereotypical, but completely true.
Hmm.
If you ever at that point, like, oh, I needed to, you know, send a lot of emails or do a lot of downloads, that's when you did it.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Todd's full of useful facts like that.
Yes.
But that's like early 90s, right?
Yep.
See, I didn't discover the internet till like 96.
No one did.
I didn't know
It was all just people arguing about Kirk or Picard. Like, that was it.
You know what? My first.
There's no argument. It's Picard.
I think the first email I sent out
was the first time I've ever high-fived Ian. That's it.
It was to join. By the way, I say Magneto instead of Magneto. Just can't.
Magneto?
Help that. I just like saying Magneto.
No, that's good.
And that was my first, like, email. My first venture into the net was to, like, join a Magneto fan club chat room.
Really?
Wow.
That was my first. That was.
I think he wins the crown.
That was.
You win.
I have this great worldwide resource, and how am I going to put this to use?
I'm going to go join.
I'm going to join
a group.
I want to receive mail from people like me.
Is his cape purple or fuchsia?
Yeah. It was.
Why is he such a dick all the time?
I it didn't last long because
right.
Because I kind of it seemed a bit pointless and strange. And I think I got just too many. I think my first kind of spam experience of just getting an influx of feedback, and you know I can't keep up with all this Magneto based news and information. So yeah,
not about Magneto.
It's Not about him. No. See?
See, I think it's a perfect time for another break, and we'll go check our emails and then come back and talk some more.
Okay.
I never understood the old Superman show, how that would start at the beginning with the people in the street going, "Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman." I see getting excited about Superman, but who are these first two losers? Excited about the bird and the plane. What the hell are they thinking? Superman, oh, I thought it was a bird. There are some birds, yay! They're making a V, woo! Sorry, no. Yeah. My favorite superhero on TV was Batman, the old cheesy Adam West version from the 60s, because I used to get a kick out of the bat signal. You know, they'd shine this huge searchlight to call Batman. Bruce Wayne's always at some high society party. All the guests rush the window. Oh, look, the bat signal. Someone's trying to call the Batman. Hey, Bruce, where are you rushing off to all of a sudden? Picture Bruce Wayne getting caught. He's like, oh, I have to go take a shit. Bruce, how come you go pinch a loaf whenever we see the bat signal? What, are you under hypnosis or something? It's never just a little Hershey squirt either. You're like gone for 4 or 5 hours, Bruce. And why do you take that boy with you? I don't know. It's mysterious, yeah.
11. Is that one?
Which I was just 842, telling my friend.
847. Get a watch that works.
I haven't seen any of those.
No?
No.
They're fun and silly, but they won't impact your life.
No, for sure.
That was another good part of 30 Rock. The finale when Tom Hanks sets the word after emergency. That Tracy Morgan is back on doing television again.
Yeah, who is he notifying? Clooney. Hanks?
No, he's telling Clooney. Clooney and Pitt. Get Pitt on it. Well, Pitt's the webmaster. We'll wake him up. Very funny.
Good times. Yeah, it kind of salvaged a fairly uninspired season for me. That didn't do much for me. I'm enjoying her book, though. Her book, Bossy Pants. I'm listening to it as an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Yeah, I haven't picked it up, but I think it would be all right.
Do you watch Community at all?
No, people say I should, and I probably... it sounds great.
There's only so much TV time in a day.
Yeah, the couple I've seen are good. So. Yeah.
I don't watch nearly enough 30 Rock, and I know I'm going to watch for it at some point.
Like right now?
Probably.
Okay. The sitcom that we're the most impressed by that we weren't expecting to be was Raising Hope.
Really? What's that about?
It's on Fox on Tuesday nights. It's Raising Hope. Hope is a little baby.
Yeah.
And it's about a redneck, you know, white trash family.
Sure.
And basically the pilot is this guy has this baby with a woman who turns out to be a serial killer and gets the chair. This is all in the pilot. So they're all just raising this.
I'm laughing already.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just very, very basic, you know, just straight up sitcom-y stuff. No laugh track or anything, But and it stars Martha Plimpton and do you know her from Parenthood?
Yeah. See, I'm okay with her, but I'm not.
No, I never liked her.
You know what I mean?
But she's great in this. So this might turn you around.
She was Mosquito Coast. She was also in. And I find her like I want to like her, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know? And then when I was
the same way.
And then there are things like, you know, she'll do something and go, oh my God, that's great. And I could totally get in on that. And then I can't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What was it? She was in like a Law and Order of some sort, like an SVU. She played a great victim. Mm-hmm. Like just fantastic acting. And I just kind of got lost and I go, oh fuck. Maybe I don't hate her.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe that's the thing. I don't know what it is about her. Like she's very.
There's something shrill or something.
I don't know.
I know what you mean. Because she wasn't my favorite either.
Who was in Natural Born Killers opposite Woody Harrelson?
Juliette Lewis.
She I don't like, and I think part of the problem is I'm always confusing the two.
Okay.
I think that's probably why.
Random hatred?
It's not random. She's awful. But she was great in The Town. Did you see that?
No. Is that Ben Affleck?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I didn't see
that. You got to see.
Did either of you catch the premiere of Ryan Belleville's new show this week?
No, Almost Heroes? I wasn't able to.
It's on iTunes, free download. I advise you heavily to get on that.
Yeah?
It's a good time.
Cool.
You too.
Are you done promoting this?
It's a good show, and it's Canadian.
It is.
And it doesn't take place on the prairies.
And?
This has to happen.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
Nothing against the prairie shows, but like we can have more than one kind of show, right? Right?
Little Corner Gas on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we're on, I'll mention Garrett Dillahunt when we're on, because he's very important in the Raising Hope.
We can do that. We can do that now.
Is it? Oh, is this a cold?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
It worked out so well last time.
It did.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
We found out that I don't really like Juliette Lewis. I think that was my problem.
Yeah.
Yet she shows up as a vocalist on a Prodigy song that I absolutely adore. If you ever hear the song Hot Ride, it's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving on.
That's my musical nerdetry right there. It is. So you wanted to drop props to whom?
Garrett Dillahunt on the show Raising Hope. Mm-hmm. He plays the father. And it took me like just until like a week ago to finally remember his name, because yeah. I keep forgetting who he is or what his name is. But he is this character actor that's been in dramas all over the place and is amazing. Yep. Best performance, I'd say, on Deadwood, where he played two characters, mm-hmm. one in season one and one in season two, and you can't, he's like one of those chameleon actors that you don't even realize, like it took a while to realize it was him two times. But he's been in a whole bunch of stuff, but never comedy before, and he's like this comedic foil. He's the typical sort of dumb dad mm-hmm. in this family sitcom, but he's amazing, and his name's Garrett Dillahunt.
Check out Raising Hope on Fox.
Yeah.
Are we pimping them now?
I don't know. David's spoken very highly of them.
That's true.
So,
but they also brought us Fox News. Let's not kid.
They also brought us The Simpsons, which you also love.
I was going to say that. I was calling my own.
And Herman's Head.
How much?
Have a moment for Herman's Head.
Exactly.
No one had a moment for Herman's Head.
Very good. Herman's Head reference. That's all right.
Boy.
Which is another Yeardley Smith vehicle.
That's right.
There you go.
Also Sam Kinison.
What? Oh, that's true.
He was one of the screaming voices in Herman's Head.
That's true.
Oh, dear God.
Yep.
But yeah.
God bless us all.
And Fox News has contributed to comedy. I'll just say that, too.
Oh, no, for sure.
So
how do you, speaking of which, mm-hmm. how do you find, now we've just gone through an election, we're waiting for this. I don't know what the political climate right now is in Montreal. Because you're the first guy that we've had on here since Quebec all went orange,
yeah.
or NDP.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, congratulations on finally people wising up going, do we even need the Bloc anymore?
Yeah.
He didn't even get his... Doucette did not get his right. For the American listener who doesn't know, the Bloc Québécois is a party that is trying to wrench Quebec away from the rest of Canada and become an independent state.
Todd, I can hear the American listeners leaving.
They left long before, trust me, as soon as they figured out that you were on this episode.
There's venom.
Oh, do you like that? It's like a viper.
Yeah,
Viper venom.
But no, like...
Todd hates me because he needs me.
We're going to let that sit.
Okay.
But yeah, so the Bloc, for the first time in a long while, if ever... this is the least amount of votes that they've ever had since their inception.
Yeah.
And it all went NDP, which is the Socialist Party.
Which is weird.
What is Quebec like now that you're living there?
I don't know because politics doesn't matter.
if the people find out,
yes,
the system will collapse.
Oh, dear.
Don't tell
me. Take your money out of the banks, people. Yeah.
What are you, Todd? What are you doing?
Take your money out of the banks.
Who booked this maniac, this anarchist for the podcast? That's
I believe you did.
Oh, right. Damn it. I still blame you.
He shows up in a moose shirt from Europe. I don't know how that works.
A European Ontario moose shirt.
That's right.
It's pretty bad. I don't know yet because we don't know how this is going to play out.
I guess the big argument is that there's so many NDP candidates that are in Quebec that are new, not just to the party,
but to the province.
To the province, well, to the process. A lot of P words.
To being old enough to vote.
Yeah.
Some of them.
There was a 19-year-old that won his riding.
Yeah.
That's got to be crazy.
The girl who was in Vegas. Whatever.
That's true. Yes.
Broso or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not the local comic.
That went on a man-batical. She was on a vote-batical.
Yeah.
Was this one.
A vote-batical.
It must have been weird, like, just to see suddenly everything kind of turn around.
Yeah.
Did you get a sense, like, while the thing was going on, just, like, you woke up one day, it's like, oh, okay, it's NDP now. Like, is that what happened?
Well, yeah. I mean, just on an electoral map, it looks freaky, but we're maybe waiting for the other shoe to drop or something and see what
Toronto's
happens.
Very familiar with that feeling with our recent mayoral election.
Oh, boy.
Who was that then? That was
Rob Ford.
Yep.
Yeah.
Conservative lackey, Rob Ford.
Oh, okay.
I mean, douchebag, Rob Ford.
Oh, we were trying to get him on as a guest.
Yeah, well.
And we came close.
Sure we did.
I have the thread of emails where they were like, oh, yeah, he's busy with the budget right now, but he's totally engaged. First of all, I got the email from the lackey saying he wanted me to respond personally. And I was like, oh, okay, this is good. Wow. And I was like, you know, he's in the middle of election things. Budget. And it's like, we can't do this. Okay. So we picked a timeline when I would re-engage.
Yeah.
And I did that. It was like, based on a schedule, no. Hmm. And it was like, okay. All right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. With Stanhope, I believe that. Ford, not so much.
Yeah. I get the feeling some lackey from Ford, camp, listened to this eventually and say, you know, they call you a jackass. And I was like, okay.
Oh, dear.
Right. So.
And you won't get Juliet Lewis either.
Nope, probably not.
Holy,
you know what? That's a good day.
Alienating the listener.
That's really a good day.
You're burning bridges.
You know what? I would welcome Juliet Lewis on here so she can say, okay, so tell me why I shouldn't. Why I don't find you dumb. I don't know.
Todd's good at confrontation.
Yes. Tell me. I open myself out. Why should I not like you?
Well, that's good.
That's why you came in.
She might kill
you. You're proving well, maybe.
She'll hit you with a brick.
A foil wrap brick.
Foil. A comedy foil brick.
Some sort of comedy foil brick.
Okay, here's something about Hawkeye. Okay.
The Avenger or the MASH character?
The Avenger.
Okay.
I was thinking the MASH character. Continue.
No, yeah, no. All right. Just go sit in the tournament.
I was talking about with David Sonos, because we talk about these superhero issues all the time, and why Hawkeye, who's the avenging archer, he's the green, he's the purple green arrow, basically.
Right. With a big H on his forehead.
Yeah, yeah. Which is
in case you don't remember who he is.
And right. An H, is his sash, is that's shaped right. Like an H, where he keeps his trick arrowheads.
Of course. Screw those onto the end of the
show.
But
why he gets... And also, and he'll be in the Avengers movie, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Peripherally.
He'll get... No, he might get like a Nightcrawler moment where he does something badass and steals the show for the first, you know,
sure,
5 minutes.
Of course.
We hope.
Right on.
But he often gets sort of knocked over and stuff in battle, and he'll get hit, and he'll go flying and sprawling, and his little arrows will fall out of his quivers and stuff. And I just find it fascinating that, like, one of his explosive arrowheads never goes off.
Okay.
Cause that's what you would want for a cloud of tear gas or something. Yeah. He's got dozens of trick arrowheads.
Mm-hmm.
And they never go, like, the, you know, they fire on impact.
Yeah.
But then he gets sort of an optic blast or what have you.
Oh, my bees are loose.
Exactly.
My bees are loose.
Yes. He has an arrow full of bees.
The bee arrow. That's,
oh my God. No nectar for me.
See, this is
me. How am I beguiled?
That's where I think you're not taking the question seriously. Because he does not.
Have an arrow full
of bees.
Well, let's get that in there.
Oh, really? Throw it into a hive and see what happens.
Oh, man.
Then
you can shoot the Hulk with an arrow full of bees. That would,
that would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like the Wasp several million times over.
Sure. Absolutely. I thought this through. This wasn't just a random stupid idea.
No, it pretty much was.
It's a planned out stupid idea.
No, that's a dumb idea. But
that is a point. Like, why don't these things go off?
Why don't they go off? Yeah. Oh, he's thrown in water.
Mm-hmm.
He's got shock arrowheads. Why doesn't he short circuit himself?
Yeah. You said something about Batman too, with all his smoke bombs and assorted paraphernalia all on his belt.
Yeah, Batman's a difficult quandary. Just the whole. I mean, yeah, he's very limber for someone.
See, now there's the difference between, I would say, the Punisher and Batman. Okay, they both have vendettas. They both have big
vengeance
things
issues.
They both have vengeance issues.
Not to mention parent issues.
Right, for sure. But Batman is a rich dude, and the other guy is not. He's just, regular Joe guy, just doing that. That's it. That's the difference.
Is there a point in here somewhere, Todd?
I just don't like Batman.
He uses the funds.
Well, you're allowed to be wrong.
from the drug kingpins that he murders, he takes their resources and
buys more grenades.
Right, he does. Fine. He does. Although he sets quite a bit of their money on fire too.
Yeah, that's just more of a hey, fuck you.
I believe we've learned two things. I'm going to learn to like Batman and Juliette Lewis.
Yep,
that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. New Batman movie coming out 2012.
Is that true? Okay, now why are they rebooting it?
They're not rebooting it yet.
They're not.
This is the sequel to Dark Knight.
Christian Bale still going to be part of it?
Yeah, this is the end of that three piece.
Okay.
Superman, they're rebooting. Spider-Man, they're rebooting.
Okay.
Daredevil, we can only hope, will one day be rebooted.
Okay, give that up. That's never happening.
Can we just get one without Evanescence as the soundtrack? Please?
Can we have one that doesn't have a blind guy in it? Let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah, no, hang on now.
Yeah, our guest is not impressed with you right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I did a spit take in my mind.
What is it about Daredevil that you enjoy?
He's badass.
Yeah, no, I'm big on the Frank Miller issues.
Yeah,
sure.
Bendis had some great ones too.
Yeah, I didn't like Bendis as much.
Brubaker?
Well, no, not at all, actually. I didn't like Bendis at all. Brubaker I liked for the first little while.
Yeah.
But nothing can touch Miller still.
Here's my issue. It has nothing to do with sort of the storyline or the artistry or the plot or anything like that. For me, Daredevil, the conceit is too augmented. It's just, it's way too extended to be able to say, okay, so he's blind. Got it. And it's super sensitive. All of his other senses. Like, no. It doesn't capture the same sort of ability. I don't buy it. That's part of my problem.
Yeah.
I'm already dead at the gates. And I tried watching it. Trust me. I watched that and Elektra.
That's your problem. Elektra was horrible and so was the Daredevil
movie. They both were awful. Trying to read the
Elektra was the comics extra super duper awful.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was even trying to just rationalize
awful
it.
Awful with like a side of Gigli.
Okay. Yes. That was exactly the point I was making.
But I would say it's still just plain delightful.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The story's, when the story's good, it's all that willful suspension of, I mean, face it, all the entire Marvel universe should be dead from radiation poisoning.
Yeah.
That is true.
So, so once you
can you imagine that? Imagine that cancer clinic?
Yeah.
Everyone there's Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like when Batman beats up Superman with a batarang.
a batarang.
Just dunk. All right.
By the way, I'm not of this world and I will kill you, rich boy.
Yeah.
That's all that would be.
Mm-hmm. Except he doesn't have that in his character, so.
Uh-huh.
That's why he'll never beat Batman in a fight, because Batman's a prick.
Why can't there just be more clobbering time? That's what I'm asking.
Clobbering time.
I just want more clobbering time.
Yeah.
That's all. I don't ask for much.
Well, it's always clobbering time when you have a hair trigger temper.
Right.
Like old blue-eyed Benjamin J. Grimm.
Yep.
Wow. I didn't know what his middle initial was.
Yes.
J. Yeah. Well, they're all J. Homer J. Simpson, Bullwinkle J.
From now on, I'll be known as Benjamin J.
And why not?
All right, well, we're back to The Simpsons.
There we are. We're back, and that's a good point to leave out. So we played a segment from Googly, which is your album, which is on sale. People can get this from your website.
Yeah, it'll link to CD Baby, but it's also tracks are on iTunes. And,
sure.
But
we're also going to link to another video that you were mentioning off air, your Spider-Man video.
Oh, I did a mashup a little while back that I...
Now, how's that go? What's that?
it's called Spidey versus Oz.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
We're linking it, baby.
Wow. Uh-huh. Really?
Yep.
I can't wait to see the mail that we get from that one. Okay. And?
No, it's delightful. It's, I won't even say anything about it.
All right.
And there's also Spidey versus Oz Part 2, which was a... which was I started on the sequel, but then I didn't get past one scene. And then suddenly fatherly responsibilities took over.
God damn your kids.
These kids wanting to be fed and hugged. And
well, the first one I did while the baby was, you know, getting breastfed. So they didn't need me.
Yeah.
And then by part two, he was sort of getting weaned off that. So I started to have to step up.
Can we expect more of these things? Once your time frees up?
Are we Spidey gonna see more versus of these? Oz?
Yeah.
I like to finish number two.
Okay.
But it would stop at number two.
Stop giggling.
I have it in my mind. Yeah, I would love to if I wasn't clogged with too many too many other matters. But then I would finish number two.
Right.
But
once you clear the clog, you can finish number two.
Exactly. Gotcha. That's where we're going.
I'm the only one giggling in my head at this. Okay. That's fine. Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's all for you.
Yes. But, thank you.
But yeah. Yeah, because I had this whole sequel mapped in my head anyway, but it's, yeah, it just depends on whether we get around to it. Although my friend told me yesterday that the scene as an epilogue is just fine the way it is. So,
okay.
So who knows?
We will link to them.
Just link to them and just let...
This episode is heavy with links, and I'm happy about that. That's fine. Because you're a guy who's doing shit. That's nice.
You mean in a YouTube capacity?
In every capacity. You got an album, you got videos, you got, the stand-up set, the ultimate, comic book set. We got to do that.
You've got deep-seated thoughts on Hawkeye. You know, Hawkeye doesn't get enough attention.
Yeah, no, that's...
You know what I think that's warranted? All right. We got to go. You got a show to go to. This is your last night here in Toronto. You're wrapping up.
It is.
How do people find you on the web? What's your web presence?
DavidPride.com.
Nice. Do you tweet? Do you do that?
No. I just haven't got into that. Facebook is the occasional.
It's enough.
There's a lot of nerds on Twitter. They may be able to help you with this Hawkeye problem.
Rope in.
There's only so much, like, because I think in competitive nerditude, I get a little intimidated, especially on the web. They kind of come.
It is kind of a full-time job trying to keep up with some of this shit.
Yeah, right. They get pretty vicious out there.
Well, because they're anonymous and alone in their basements.
It's not just a full-time job. It's the worst-paying job
that you're ever going to have.
Mm. Very nice. Okay, so davidpride.com. Mm-hmm. You can go find you. Ian, Twitter handle, please.
@ Comedy Brawl.
That's the one you're going with now?
Well, also @ Atlas Chug.
Thank you very much.
I'm pushing the show.
Okay.
Promotion, Todd. Again, we've talked about this.
Right. What's this podcast?
I don't know.
CATP podcast. That's right, folks. Cappy. You can follow me at Hey It's TVA. I almost said my other podcast that's on hiatus for 2 months.
Or you can follow my account for Todd Van Allen on Twitter called Meh It's TVA.
Really? You waited all day for that, eh?
Not really. No,
yeah, just good one. Wow, it's a shame you're out of comedy. David, thank you so much for coming down here.
I finished my water at the exact perfect
time.
That's it.
That's exactly it.
So we go by the sip.
Thank you so much for coming down here. It was fantastic. And we'll have you back.
Thank you
very much. Next time you're in town, we'll talk about more nerditry things.
I hope so.
That will be the thing that we do. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of David, Ian, and myself, where do you find comedy? Above the pub.
Lately, I find I rush. Can't piece together the sun in the sky or the spots on my face. And I must be stuck, my feet already are.
Part of the show, just, you know, little nuggets come out every once in a while. Jesus. 47 tracks on this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Each one a good 48 seconds long.
Yes.
Yeah. 8 of them are called faggot.